The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 612, Mayberry Christmas 2020. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Head over to Weavers and check out the brand new book, 60 Years of Mayberry, a celebration of the Andy Griffith Show. Oh, you're going to like that one because, you know, I wrote a story in it. Go check it out. You can also get the 2021 Mayberry day-by-day flip calendar. Stock is very limited. You'll never make it by Christmas, though. So if you'd like to get a gift for somebody and it's Christmas nearly, you can still get a Weaver's gift certificate. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 612 is Jim Sherrill. So, hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and this is the Christmas episode. Yeah, it's Christmas time in Mayberry. And it's time for that episode, as we do every year. The Andy Griffith Show only had one episode centered around a holiday. And, you know, of course, that was Christmas. And fans have watched, you know, time and time again as Ben Weaver tries to get himself arrested so that he can spend Christmas in jail with the Taylors and the Muggins. You know, it's touched our hearts looking at Ben, looking through those bars through that window. It's always touched our hearts. And we'll try tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this, to bring back that feeling just a little bit through some Mayberry memories of Christmas time. And we'll try to make a new memory or two while we're at it. There's a special guest back again this year by popular demand from over in Dodge City. His name is Festus Hagen. And he has a really good story about Santa Claus I think you're going to enjoy. And there's a new poem we have this year that I'll be reading, but it's called Mayberry Courthouse Christmas, and it's written by Ronnie Felker, a.k.a. Fearless Fife himself. He's one of our tribute artists that does Barney. He calls himself Fearless Fife. So thanks to Ronnie for letting us get that. We're going to hear from Randy Turner with a little greeting. And finally, we'll wrap up the episode and hear from Eleanor Donahue, who will tell us a little bit about when she actually recorded Away in a Manger. And then we'll hear and close out the episode by listening to her sing that song that we all love. So, folks, it should be a lot of fun. Before we get all that rest of that started, I want to start off with the Christmas card from me and my wife and my family here, the Newsoms, for 2020. And I hope you're gonna enjoy it. So here it comes. The Mayberry Courthouse is looking forward to hosting Henry Bennett for a no-cost 14-day social distancing stay with room and board. In no time, we'll all be out of the lockup and shaking hands and coming into rooms nice again. Because we know that Henry's wanted, yeah, he's wanted this Christmas season for isolation to flatten the curve while spreading Christmas cheer. Henry will enjoy spending the Christmas holiday with Andy, Barney, Opie, Aunt Bee, Ellie, and Ben Weaver over at the courthouse. Merry Christmas from Alan, Jan, you know, and Henry. We'll soon be spending time with folks and living life, but let's not forget to keep things easy and slow while remembering the important things. God bless you and yours. Oh, and have a Mayberry New Year. That's our Christmas card for 2020 that we always send out. We do that every year, and we make a paper copy that we send out to some people, but I can't afford to send everybody one that wants a card. But I did send one to Henry Bennett. Rick, who is in our chat room and is our Henry Bennett tribute artist, he sent me a card, and if you're watching the video, you can see it. But it says, have a Merry Christmas and a Lucky New Year. And it shows him, Henry Bennett, sitting in a boat with a polar bear. And he says, hope this finds you healthy and inspired to make 2021 the best. God bless. So this is from Henry. And he did say he loved the Christmas card. So I was a little worried that I almost used our tribute artist, Henry, almost used his picture instead of the real Henry, but they look so much alike, I'm not sure you can tell the difference. Anyway, Merry Christmas to Henry, and hopefully we won't be jinxed next year. Everything will be great, and we'll be back to normal. You know. Thank you, Rick. I really do appreciate it. And, Rao, I really hope you enjoyed the card. It's always fun for me. I've been making Christmas cards that are Mayberry-related. Gosh, since Jen and I got married, basically, and we've been making them. So one of the years, this is what I did. I was trying to make a Christmas card. So I wrote a song about Barney, the Mayberry deputy. So let's go and hear that one. So this is me singing. So I'm sorry if anything's off key. I don't have auto tune. And this is from 2010. So Barney, the Mayberry deputy. Here we go. You know Andy and Opie and Ellie and Aunt B. You know Warren and Goober and Gomer and Ernest T. But do you recall the most famous deputy of all? The Mayberry deputy had a very shiny badge, and when he cleaned his bullet, he would use liquid pledge. All of the other deputies tried, but it just wasn't the same. They couldn't match old Barney. Tiger Fife was his name. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Andy came to say, Barney, with your build so right, won't you be our Santa tonight? My, how the folks there loved him, Andy, Opie, Ellie, and Aunt Bee. Barney, the Mayberry deputy, you'll go down in history. Barney, the Mayberry deputy, you'll go down in history. I can't tell you how much I enjoy doing these cards. They're so fun to do. Back when I originally did those, they were in flash animation. And now everything is actually video, and you can go and look at these at any time during the year. If you go to imayberry.com/Christmas, it will take you to the Ghost of Christmas Past, and you can see all the cards I've done over the many years, 20 something years. And most of them are animated, but there are a few cards that you can see that are just normal cards. So now you've heard enough from me. I want you to hear a Mayberry Christmas by Ben Sandifer. So I know you're going to enjoy this one. So take it away, Ben.
was the night before Christmas, and all through Mayberry, this year Santa would become legendary. A picture from Otis was hung up with care by the one of the Rose, which had won at the fair. The children had put up the last Christmas wreath, Opie and Mary Wiggins, who'd lost her front teeth, and Andy with no gun adorned his nightcap, just in case feuding families finally ended their scrap. When out on the street there came a great noise. Could it be Briscoe, Charlene, and the Darling Boys? It probably wasn't that nut named Bass. It didn't sound one bit like shattering glass. No snow, just a steady rain fell from the sky. It had rained every day since those gypsies came by. When up came a black Ford automobile with way yonder too much grease on the wheel. With a skinny little driver who still had no wife, he was known by such names as Fast Gun Fife. His car barely made it, slowly moving along. A mechanic named Pyle had told him all that was wrong. Needs points, needs plugs, needs new wires, by gosh, and she could also really use a good wash. To the tailor's driveway, he'd park right behind Mr. Tucker's big car, cause he changed his mind. He looked at the house and wished he could fly. Then a ladder next to the house caught his eagle eye. He'd climb up the ladder, yep, that was the plan. It was left there by Wheeler, Aunt Bee's handyman. He knew how to enter a room with such ease. He taught Ernest T with full amenities. But on this special night, the door would not do, so down the chimney the thin deputy flew. He was dressed in a uniform. Now, what could be dumber? This night, I doubt he'd encounter Fred Plummer. His hair Floyd had slicked down, but not a bit drippy, in case fingers ran through from a fun girl named Skippy. His hat held his ticket book, just in case the governor's car was parked in the wrong place. The bullet in his pocket was shiny and neat, and if he should use it, watch out for your feet. When he sang, it just kind of made you sick, cause he couldn't sing, not one single lick. Even an old-fashioned recitation didn't work. After all, you can't make a bird go chirp, chirp. He had not an ounce of fat, which helped him hustle. He could eat all the cookies, since they all went to muscle. He had little time and might get in a pinch, since a tightwad named Weaver might turn into the Grinch. He spoke not a word. There was much work to do. He still had to call Juanita and say toodaloo. For Opie, he left some shiny new skates and a guitar, the kind that Lydia Crosswaight hates. For Aunt Bee, he left 24 canning jars, more kerosene cucumbers for out-of-state cars. He left his friend Andy a hat and a tie. He'd never wear either, but he still had to try. And when he had finished, he went out the door. He'd saved enough time for just one thing more. To Thelma Lou's house he now had to go for a pan of her fudge and that doctor show. He cranked up his car on the third or fourth try. On his cycle and sidecar, he could better rely. But I heard him exclaim as he drove through the mud, "Merry Christmas to all! Now nip it in the bud!"
That's great as well. That's from Ben Sandifer. I want to thank him for giving us permission to be able to do that. I just love these little Christmas things. We do them almost every year. I've done these because Ben did that one back in, he actually did it in 2010, and I read it for a couple of years, and then he did a video version. So I should mention, all this stuff is video. So if you're enjoying this, you may want to go back and watch the video versions, because it adds pictures and sights to see during the fun with Mayberry. Hey, how'd you like that? Now, this next one is a poem that was written by Ronnie Felker. Now, this is new. This is not a video version, so we're just going to have me, and I'm going to read it. But we're going to have a little background music that will get started. There we go. And it's called Mayberry Courthouse Christmas. 'Twas the day before Christmas at the Mayberry Courthouse. Not a prisoner was stirring. It was quiet as a mouse. All the Christmas cards were hung straight and neat. Even one from Thelma Lou. It was so sweet. All the merchants closed early and locked up their stores. So Barney checked all the doors for security once more. Andy had just left work for the day to get ready for Santa, who was well on his way. He read Opie the Christmas story of Jesus Christ and of his glory. Barney was in charge for the rest of the day, not knowing that trouble was well on its way. He got ready for his afternoon nap, propped up his feet, and pulled down his cap. When out on the street, he heard such a clatter. He sprang to his feet to see what was the matter. He reached for his bullet down deep in his pocket, put it in his gun, and shot off like a rocket. Away to the door, he flew like a flash, opened the door, and there was Ernest E. Bass, running and giggling all over town, throwing his rocks and wouldn't settle down. Coming to town of his own free will, saying, if a duck stands still, you can catch him by a bill. Barney ran after him as fast as he could, knowing that Bass was up to no good. Barney was trying to catch him, as he thought that he might, but Ernest T. laughed. He was much too sprite to spend time in jail on Christmas Eve night. Then he heard Ernest T. as he ran out of sight. Deputy, I'll be back to make things right. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. And you ain't heard the last of Ernest E. Bass. Thank you, Ronnie Felker. That is very good. I love it. So there it is. Mayberry Courthouse Christmas. So that's a good one. So thanks, Ronnie. Thanks for letting me read it here on the podcast as well. All right. So next up, we've got another card idea. This is from 2006. So this is really more of a video card. So you'll want to watch, but I'm going to read you the portions. Now in your mind, I want you to picture Adam, my son, and I, and Jan, of course, went to California back in the early 2000s. And videoed Adam and myself walking down that exact same path that Andy and Opie walked on at Franklin Canyon Reservoir at Myers Lake. We walked up through there and Adam threw the rock in the water and then walked back down the path heading home. And that's what these pictures are of. And so as you're listening, if you're only listening, picture that in your mind as we listen to Heading Home for Christmas. The Newsomes pray that you and your family have a very merry Christmas. Mayberry is a lot like Christmas. Both are about friends and family. We hope the road from the fishing hole leads everyone home to you safe and sound. We're heading home for Christmas. So that is our Christmas card. That was from 2006, actually. So that's another one. I just like the music, too. It's just a very Mayberry feeling thing. So we have a special guest. We had him last year, and he's back again. And this is, as I said, it's a fellow from Dodge City. You may know him. His name's Festus. He was a deputy like Barney, and he and Barney have actually met. And so I think you're going to enjoy this. If you've ever watched the show Gunsmoke, this is our friend Mark Staggs doing Festus and his version of "'Twas the Night Afore Christmas." And I know that you're going to love this.
Well, I got a story I'm going to tell y'all today. It's a special story, and I ain't lying about it neither. I'm going to tell you just like it was. Guess what? Old Festus can read. That's right. It's out. I can read. But I can't read without glasses. Right here. All right. I called it. It was the night afore Christmas. 'Twas the night afore Christmas. And out in the yard, they was a chicken pecking on the ground pretty hard. Now, we'd already hung her stockings up at the long branch up high in hopes that old Sandy Claus, well, he just might drop by. The youngins was all snuggled tight in their beds, 'cause they knew if they get out, the days are whooping ahead. Well, I was in my long johns and old Ruth was in her winter jacket when we was jolted to wake my terrible racket. I ran out the door and into the night. With gun in my hand, I was ready for a fight. I tripped over an old duck and she screamed out a quack. And right over yonder, flat on his back, lay old Doc Adams, out like a light. I ran over to his side. I said, "Doc, you all right?" And not a peep did he utter, my fidgety old scooter. To see if and he was breathing, I leaned over close to take a listen. But I couldn't hear nothing on account of that ground-pecking chicken. He popped open his eyeballs and hopped to his feet and said, "Get out of my way." Then he let out a long bleat like a sheep. I asked him what for. He said, "Doesn't matter." And I had to run back inside, 'cause I got a weak bladder. When I came back out, I couldn't believe my eyeballs. I said, "What in tarnation is that?" 'Cause I couldn't think of anything that rhymed with eyeball. Old Doc hopped up on his sled, overloaded with toys, and pulled by 8 puny sheep, and they was making all kind of noise. I stuck my head in the water trough way down deep, 'cause I wasn't for sure, but thought I might still be asleep. That old Sawbones, he spit, he whistled and hollered. He yelled out the names that was on them sheep's collars. "Now Skeeter, now Elmer, now Jasper, Jethro, on Cletus, on Wilbur, on Moses and Roscoe." They took to pulling that sled hard up the hill. When they reached the top, they ran over Granny Steele. Now she started cussing and shooting at old Doc and his team, and I think she might have winged him, 'cause he kind of let out a girlish scream. He yelled at those sheep something fierce, I do declare. Then all of the dad blame sudden, they was flying in the air. That's right, I ain't lying, I ain't. They landed on a house a fur piece down the road. So I hopped on old Ruth and down the road I goed. I got to the house in about half a minute. I grabbed the front door, pulled, and went in it. Inside, old Doc was moving fast, just like a bee, putting toys in stockings and up under the tree. From his hat to his toes, he was all dressed in red. Doc Adams is Sandy Claus. I thought in my head, he was smiling and laughing and so full of good cheer. He ain't usually like that unless he drinks a whole lot of little beers. And just like that, when his work was all done, he was up through that chimney like being shot from a gun. He jumped back in his sleigh and took off again in flight, shouting, Merry Christmas to all, and to Festus, in the head, you ain't right. I died, blame old Scudder. Couldn't help himself but start another fight. But I just let it go. He said, well, it's all right. I walked my mule back to my little one-room shack. My heart was so full of joy and goodwill towards my feller man, I just stopped on that road. Very still, I did stand, thinking that the reason for Christmas wasn't just toys and fun. The real reason was because God sent us His Son, born to die on the cross for our sin. Born in a stable because there weren't no room at the inn. Believe in Him and ask Him into your heart, and He'll make you brand spanking new and give you a fresh start. Christmas happened because God loves everyone. And you can show your love for Him by telling people about His Son, Jesus. Jesus is what it's all about. Christmas ain't about nothing else except the birth of the baby Jesus, Savior of the world. The only hope that there is for mankind. It's the truth right there, the gospel. Now, I hope you and yours have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Festus. That was really good. So I hope you liked that. I hope you didn't mind us visiting a little bit of Dodge City and hearing from Festus. But I just think that was it's a great story. Festus has always been a character I absolutely love. And when we actually got to work with Mark, and Mark actually has interacted with our Barney tribute artist, it has just been so fun. And he is such a good guy. So I hope you like it. And I love the message he's given too. So that's really nice. All right. So we have another nice story that should bring back a lot of amazing memories of your youth, or maybe just nostalgia for that time period for a lot of you. This is from Charlie Monk. He is sometimes called the mayor of Nashville. He's the mayor of Music Row, not mayor. And he did a thing called Andy and Opie Christmas.
I was watching an old Andy Griffith show the other day and noticed how the people of Mayberry were celebrating Christmas. I got to thinking, what does Christmas really mean today? Is it any different now than it was in the small town where I grew up? Watching Andy and Opie did bring back some very special memories. You see, my hometown was a lot like Mayberry. My dad used to joke that we were so small that welcome to and hurry back was on the same sign. I think small towns were a lot different than the big cities, especially at Christmas time. For instance, all the stores waited until after Thanksgiving before they decorated for Christmas. When I was a kid, the town folks hung green garlands and striped candy canes from light poles. Even the red, yellow, and green of our one traffic light seemed to be part of the festive decor. I remember all the fancy flickering lights that were strung along the storefronts, and the display windows that were filled with boxes wrapped as gifts and lots of stuffed Santas. We chopped down our own Christmas tree in the pasture nearby. We drug it home and helped Dad make our own stand. You know, we had so much fun when our grandparents helped us make multicolored paper chains and popcorn strings to put on the tree. Most of our ornaments, of course, were handmade at school or church. Our family only had one string of lights, but all the bulbs lit up every year. My mama made cakes, pies, and cookies. And no matter what room you're in, there was that aroma of those soon-to-be-enjoyed goodies. We had eggnog, and there was the wonderful smell of spiced apple cider. That's the kind of stuff Aunt Bee would have made. Looking back, we didn't have much, but we didn't know it. Oh, we didn't have a fireplace, by the way, but Santa always found a way in. Church was the second home for small-town folks, but at Christmas time, it became the focus. And every church had a Christmas play. Now, all the kids wanted to be Mary, Joseph, or the three wise men, or a camel. Oh, it was just great fun. One of my favorite memories was when families gathered together, put on their warmest coats, caps, and mittens, and roamed the streets singing Christmas carols. Like Andy, Opie, and Barney most likely did, people in my hometown shared gifts and baskets of food with the neighbors that might not have as much as they did. Our sheriff even let some of the people we called guests of the county go home on Christmas Eve. But if my memory serves me, when I was young, the holiday season was really more about giving, not about getting, which made it more about doing for others than buying for others. You see, that was the small town way. And in my hometown, or any town like Mayberry, there seemed to be more emphasis on the reason for the season. Yes, we should remember the good times. The giving and receiving of gifts, the laughter, the merriment. But we should also stop and remember that we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Merry Christmas from me, Andy, and Opie.
Wow, I hope you guys like that. That's Charlie Monk. He gave us permission to be able to play that here on the podcast, and that's just, I'm so thankful for that. Friends, I hope you are enjoying these memories and just bringing back a little bit to you. And I want to give you this report from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History. And it's a shorter report this week, but it means a lot. So let's hear from Randy and see how...
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Hi, Mayberry fans. I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you to everyone who has been so supportive of me this year. There's not a lot you can say that was good about 2020, but having the Andy Griffith Show still be available and have fans such as yourselves is definitely a good thing. I never do a full report for Christmas, but this short segment marks a bit of a milestone for me. This is the 200th time I have recorded a contribution for the podcast. Thank all of you for the encouragement you've given me since I started in 2017. It means a lot to me to have all of you as part of my Mayberry family. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you, Randy. And if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun that Randy does on the internet, give him an email. Send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, at turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun of what he's doing. So, Randy, thanks for being here for 200 episodes. 200, that's amazing. This is 612 I've done. So you've done almost a third of the episodes with me. And I really do appreciate it. The amount of information he brings is always amazing. And he's doing it for fun. You know, and that's, I think that's what it's all about. We enjoy ourselves. We have a good time here in Mayberry. And remembering the times of Christmas and just things that we had when we were younger. But, you know, we always think that that was the best. And, you know, it was great. I enjoyed it when I was young. You got your stuff and you had fun as a kid. But, you know, even in 2020, the year that has been, there's still things, if we'll look back in our life, that have been a good time during that year. So I encourage you during Christmas, especially, to try to look for those things. And if you can, carry that all year, looking for the things that really are important. Because I do believe that all this stuff we've gone through throughout 2020 has reminded us of what's important and the things that we really need to focus on. So let's just remember that as we keep moving. To wrap up the show, we're going to hear from Eleanor Donohue, and she's going to talk about when she recorded the music, the singing for Away in a Manger. She was talking to Neil Brower, and this is from episode number 315 of Two Chairs, No Waiting. It was at Neil Brower's, the Professor Brower's class he does at Mayberry Days. And I think it was from 2005 is when the actual video was. You'd have to go back and look at episode number 315 to see. But I believe it's a clip from that. And we're going to hear her talk about it. And we're going to immediately go into listening to her sing Away in a Manger. And basically, that's going to wrap up the podcast. So I'd love to hear from you. If you would like to write me, I'd love to hear from you at floyd@imaybury.com. Or you can call me at 888-684-8415. And friends, just have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. We'll see you next week here on Two Chairs. But let's go and hear from Eleanor, and we'll see you.
Now, what do you remember about actually singing Away in a Manger?
Well, the few days before, a week before, I guess, during rehearsal for another show, we had gone to a recording studio to lay the track for it, and I was terribly nervous. And many of you have heard the story before. And there was no reason for me to be nervous because I had sung the song many, many times. But I was. I didn't like singing in front of people. I certainly didn't like being recorded. So came to the studio. We tried to run it once, and my voice cracked and broke, and I nearly panicked and got all teary. And he got me a glass of water, and he said, well, you know, there's no hurry here. We're just going to sit around. So he said, come and sit down here on the floor. And there was a little riser in the recording studio. He said, well, just sit down here, and I'm just going to play it, and we'll just sing through it a few times until you're comfortable, and then we'll record it later. I said, okay. He said, I think the key is okay for you, so we're going to do this. And he started playing. He said, when you feel like it, just hum along with me, and that'll warm your voice. I'm going, and he nodded his head and started to sing. And then we ended up doing three choruses of it. And when it was finished, I thought we were going to stand up and stand in front of the microphones, which were all up above. And he said, well, I'll see you tomorrow on the set. And I said, well, aren't we going to record it? And he said, we already have. So he had, given a cue like that, and they recorded the rehearsals, and that's what that was. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, kind, and gentle way of doing it. And that's why there's so much relaxation in my voice.
A wonderful sing,
yeah,
really is.
It was really nice.
Lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the